So what am I convinced of? I'm personally convinced the James ossuary is genuine. It was not found in East Talpiot, but in Silwan, and Eusebius tells us James was buried near the old city, not outside of town. And of course, the gospel evidence is that Jesus was not buried in a family tomb, but in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Furthermore, why would Jesus' family have a family tomb in Jerusalem? Where was their family home? It was in Nazareth. The two towns Jesus is associated with are Nazareth and Bethlehem, where he was born, not Jerusalem. He was never Jesus of Jerusalem. His father was not Joseph of Jerusalem. His family was from Nazareth. That's surely where the tomb would have been. The documentary that was done by the Discovery Channel suggested that the Jesus family tomb was a secret tomb. The decorative entrance to the tomb refutes this theory. You don't go to the trouble of getting a high-quality stone carver to carve a decorative arch over your tomb unless you want it to be seen. It was theorized in the book, The Jesus Tomb, Family Tomb, and in the documentary, that that so-called missing 10th ossuary must have been the James ossuary. Josias said to me again yesterday, as he said before, the 10th ossuary, which I personally cataloged, having taken it out of the tomb in 1980, was blank. It was not the James ossuary. Unless they were able to link the James ossuary with the Talpiot tomb, this theory falls apart at the seams. Even the other aspects of it are weak. Next slide. Here again is the James ossuary, found in a different locale, never found in the Talpiot tomb. Next slide. This is the inscription. It's a plain bone box with an honorific inscription. Yaakov bar Yosef Ahui de Yeshua. Next slide. The inscription is honorific. It is telling us, indeed proclaiming to us, my brother was Jesus, the one who rose from the dead. You may remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem the first time, on that fateful occasion when he was going to be executed at the end of the week, his disciples shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And there were Jewish officials there watching this parade. And they shouted to Jesus, silence your disciples. This is not appropriate. And Jesus said, I tell you, if they were silent, if they were silent, the very stones will cry out. There is a stone that's crying out, and what it's saying is that James was the son of Joseph and the brother of Jesus, and that he rose from the dead. Thank you very much. One more thing I forgot to add, and if we can just scroll down to the Princeton Seminary disclaimer. We now have from the newspaper a Princeton Seminary disclaimer, so if we'll just scroll forward, please. Next. There. Here is the letter from Princeton Seminary. Let me just read this to you. The press following the symposium gave almost the exact opposite impression of the symposium's results, stating instead that the conference proceedings gave credence to the identification of the Talpiot tomb with a putative family tomb of Jesus of Nazareth. As is abundantly clear from the statements to the contrary that have been issued since the symposium by many of its participants, such representations are patently false and blatantly misrepresent the spirit and scholarly content of the deliberations. And there is a further statement. where Princeton Seminary disassociates itself from this disreputable outcome. That's very important. Okay, we've got plenty of time for questions. Let's have some questions.
Okay. And just test this microphone. Okay, and we have another couple coming up. Anybody want to raise a question? We're going to have CDs available at the seminary. They'll be produced tomorrow and be available next week. If you would speak at a mic, we can capture that too.
Could you speculate on the basis that these people would make these claims?
Well, because they think that Jesus' bones are still moldering in the grave. See, there is a whole side of biblical scholarship that says resurrection can't happen, miracles can't happen, therefore they didn't happen, and no good self-respecting historian will say they did. This is what they are saying. It's not what I would say. And therefore, they are on a mission to try to find some kind of evidence, however disparate or desperate, in order to produce evidence that suggests that Jesus' bones are still out there to be found. Now, if you ask what is the engine driving that train, it is the activities of people, some of whom are former Christians, who would like to discredit the Christian faith. That's exactly what's going on.
How do you know the inscriptions were not done at a different time?
That's a very good question. And if you follow the normal practices, the inscriptions would be added at the point of burial so you can identify which ossuary belongs to whom. It is not the usual practice, unlike our practices, to ever bury somebody alone in a tomb. Normally, these are all family. Even Caiaphas's tomb is a family tomb, even though he could afford a private one. They didn't do that in antiquity. They had multi-generations of families buried together, and the normal practice would be that whoever interred them inscribed them, unless it was an honorific inscription, in which case it would be done before the interment, not at the last moment, holding up a candle and scratching a name on the end of the box. Good question. Next question.
Do you know Dr. Tabor's response to Princeton?
Dr. Tabor continues to pursue this theory, and he's working very hard to try to get the East Talpiot tomb reopened. So that's, I would take that to be his response, which is, despite the fact that the vast majority of scholars say this theory has no legs, he wants to try and find the legs in some ossuary.
You mentioned that the bone fragments in James's ossuary are awaiting DNA testing.
Yes, they are.
Can you speak a little bit more to that?
Sure. Mm-hmm. There is a trial going on of the owner of the James ossuary. His name is Oded Golan, and it should wrap up in the next few months. He was accused of trafficking in antiquities. Now, to understand this accusation, you need to understand that anything that has been found in Israel after 1977 is, by law, the property of the state of Israel, okay? Oded Golan claims that he bought this ossuary before 1977, and there's a dispute about that. So I expect that to be resolved. And really, that dispute, either way, doesn't affect whether the inscription is authentic or not. But here's the issue. DNA testing has been done on the blood of the Shroud of Turin. We know what that looks like. If there was DNA testing done on the James ossuary and there was a match, either a mitochondrial DNA match or even a matrilineal DNA match, then Bob Cooley and I would have to go visit the Pope, and we would say, we've got good news and bad news, Pope. The good news is the Shroud of Turin is in fact the burial shroud of Jesus, and it bears his image. Bad news is he had a brother.
What about the so-called statistical data suggesting that that combination of names in one tomb related to the Jesus family make it very likely that they are?
Yeah. The statistician who did it repudiated that interpretation of his data, as did many other statisticians after the fact. So, first of all, there was enormous... Statistics are only as good as the amount of data you give the man to run, okay? And there were lots of flaws in that particular analysis. First of all, as I've pointed out tonight, it is not clear what some of these names are. Secondly, claims that were made about names that are clear are incorrect in several cases. And thirdly, they did not factor into the statistical analysis the ossuaries that had names on it that have no connection with Jesus' family, like Matthew. We have no evidence of a Matthew in Jesus' family tree as brother or anything like that. Furthermore, there is an ossuary there that says Yeshua and his son Judah. We have no record of Jesus having a son named Judah. You need to understand that with the exception, possibly, if the name Mariamne is actually the name on that so-called Mary Magdalene ossuary, okay, that's the only unusual name in all of these names. That's the only rare name in all of these names. The rest of those names are like Joe and Susan and Mary and Bill to us. They are not rare names. And the other statisticians who didn't work for James Cameron and were not paid by Semka Yakovici to do the analysis all say this analysis was tremendously flawed, as was the DNA analysis that was in the show. The DNA analysis proved this, that whoever was in the Mary Magdalene ossuary and whoever was in the Jesus ossuary were not related. The conclusion that the show drew, wait for it, was, therefore they must have been married. Now, the only evidence they had was matrilineal DNA. If you know anything about DNA, you will know that you cannot draw that conclusion on the basis of that evidence at all. So it's what I would call a scholarly grasping at straws. It is not even plausible on the face of it. Yes.
You indicated that this is something of put forth by people who are not Christians, perhaps former Christians.
Yes.
I'm not real familiar with the United Methodist Church,
mm-hmm.
but I am familiar with the PCUSA, and it
yep.
would appear to me that a lot of people in the pulpits who are professing Christians, so to speak, do not believe in a literal bodily resurrection, but that it was indeed just a spiritual resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that, and how prevalent would you think this view would be?
Okay, let me speak to this from a historical point of view and then maybe a contemporary point of view, okay? From a historical point of view, what an early Jew meant by resurrection was something that happened to a physical body. The term spiritual resurrection was not in their lexicon. That would be almost as much of an oxymoron as Microsoft works, okay? They did not believe in a concept of a spiritual resurrection. They, you know, if you want to talk about the soul departing and going to heaven, you don't use the word resurrection. That's not what the word resurrection meant. The word resurrection meant to early Jews, and this distinguished Pharisees from Sadducees, a physical, something that happens, that produces a physical body or happens to a physical body. So, no, they didn't believe in spiritual resurrection. Now, there are plenty of modern people that talk like that. There's no question. What I have to say about that is that would be a modern fiction. You know, yes, there are lots of people who believe that. My question would be, where's the evidence that anybody in the first century AD believed that resurrection was non-material? There's not any. You know, that would not characterize Paul or Jesus or Jesus' disciples or early Jews in general who were Pharisees. This was not their belief. And they stuck that by that belief despite the objections of the Greco-Roman world, which did not believe in bodily resurrection. So if we're asking what is the New Testament claiming, it is claiming a bodily resurrection of Jesus, and it's also claiming that he's only the first fruits of the resurrection, that when Christ returns, the dead in Christ will be raised and made like him. So his story is seen as the Christian's destiny.